Hello, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on another episode of the Real Estate Podcast. This is kind of part two today of an interview or some special time spent with Chris Lardy from the Lardy Real Estate Group, HomeSmart Evergreen in Orange County, Southern California. I don't want to pigeonhole you, because I think that anywhere in Southern California you would drive or you would go all the way down to San Diego to the border. And you know, inland, wherever you have customers, you would drive to help. But Chris Lardy from the Lardy Real Estate Group is with us today. Say hello to everyone, Chris.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming on today. I'm excited to share. And thanks, Todd and Rich, for having me on today.
Yeah, and Rich LaRue are my, I guess I'm going to say my compadre, who We always kind of dress alike, you know, sometimes.
Totally by accident today.
By accident.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, Todd and Chris, I am fired up. You know, we got Chris's background and how he got into the business and transitioning from one career to another. But this is 2023.
Yep.
And so we want you to roll up your sleeves, well, metaphorically. You're wearing a polo shirt, so you're not going to roll up your sleeves. But we want to hear what you're doing today. How is today's market different than, say, well, 2021?
Oh yeah, there's I'm sure everybody listening right now is in 2023 is probably feeling the effects of what has happened to our real estate market. 2021 was an incredible year. I mean, it didn't take much to sell real estate in 2021. It was there were just a flood of people that wanted to buy and sell. And 2023 is a little bit different. I mean, I'll tell you, I've got clients that I've been working with for 2+ years. And one of them told me yesterday, they said, Chris, it's like the rates are never going to go down. And I'm like, we might have missed that opportunity for you to buy like 6 or 9 months ago when the rates were still in a better place. Now we're in a place where it's 7.5%. And do you make that leap now in the hopes that later you can refinance? Or do you make that leap now knowing that you want to be a homeowner and whatever it takes to be one, you want to be one? I mean, these are just different conversations we're having with our buyers now. So yeah, rolling up my sleeves big time. I'll tell you, I'm definitely getting back to the basics and getting back to making phone calls and writing letters and just doing things that maybe I've kind of put off a little bit because I might have been too busy, or I might have, I might have just been too busy. So
back to the basics. That's fascinating. That's something that we talk about. It seems like every day we talk to agents about going back to basics. So writing letters, making phone calls. What else are you doing that you consider going back to basics that maybe you lost sight of the last few years?
Yeah. So I think now it's just being way more intentional with my conversations with people that have bought or sold with me in the past. I mean, I've always had really good communication with my past clients, but now it feels like it's a little bit more like I don't want to miss an opportunity to reach out to somebody on a birthday, on an anniversary of their home or an anniversary for themselves, because I want to continue to stay in front of them. It feels a little bit more important now than it had. And I think all along it's been very important. I think that we can just lose sight of it when we're busy.
Okay. So how do you balance that intentionality along with your carefree, easygoing personality, where you just engage in conversations with people? Do you find that there's a battle with that, or are you just more focused with your conversations?
I mean that can be being like super overly focused can be a double-edged sword in my opinion, because I feel like you can come off in a desperate manner. And right. I feel like people recognize when you're desperate. And I know from past experiences before I became a real estate agent, I don't really want to work with somebody who's desperate. I don't want to work with somebody who only cares about me getting into a home so that you know, they can put food on their table or whatever. I mean, that's reality. It truly is. But if somebody senses that, they don't really want that. So I try to just be carefree and easygoing and, but at the same time, hit all the markers I want to hit, but in a relaxed manner.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. I think I told a story on the first podcast about business cards. And I think we've gotten away from that whole 2020 pandemic. You know, we kind of got away from handing people anything because, you know, gosh, it could have germs on it or something like that. Now we just do everything digital. And I had people come up to me all the time and are like, oh, let me give you my business card. And they put it on top of my phone and their business card shows up. And, you know, I'm still an old school guy where I just will come up with an actual business card and be like, hey, you know, it was so good to meet you today. If you have any questions, I'd love to talk to you about real estate, and give them your business card. It's an intentionality act. Instead of like, oh, let me just get my phone back out and buzz you my contact information. So that's just how I feel about it.
Like it.
Well, and it's very high quality, very thick. I think we were talking about that on the last episode. Yeah. But sticking with this theme of intentionality, I think that there's also in times like this where agents, when it comes to a marketing budget or even marketing time, sometimes they will pull back from that. Yeah. And, you know, and there's others that kind of are going to continue moving forward, like you, who, you know, you're going to do your customer event every year, no matter what, yeah. Even though it was busy years ago, and now maybe it's a little bit slower, but you're still doing that company event. Can you talk about intentionality right now in 2023?
Yeah, you know, I remember when I first got into business and which was about almost 11 years ago, I didn't get to go through that Great Recession. So I didn't get to feel the pinch that a lot of real estate agents felt. But I remember one thing that I was told so many times by agents was like, don't give up what you're doing in the event of a down market. You have to continue. You have to keep pushing ahead. You have to keep doing your marketing. You have to keep doing your conversations. You have to do that stuff. Because when you come out of this arena, people are going to remember who you are. You were that guy that was still mailing when nobody else was mailing. You were still the guy that was knocking on doors when nobody else was knocking anymore. You were still the guy that was optimistic and hopeful for what the real estate market would do in the coming years, where other people may not be. So it's just being intentional with your marketing budget, your events, doing the events, because people want to be appreciated. People want to be known. People want to be seen. People want to be thanked for, you know, for you being able to be the real estate agent. And I say that in a manner which where you get to be the real estate agent. You don't, you know, they don't have to pick you. You get to do it. You get to be privileged and fortunate enough to do that.
Right. And they still have needs. They still have desires and needs that you're working on fulfilling even 2.5 years later. Yep. Talking about that story. So can you talk about how, yes, we have hurdles. We have challenges, and challenges come and go. Challenges come up in the industry. Rich, you've seen hurdles and challenges, you know, over your career in the mm-hmm. industry. Can you talk a little bit about how you are helping your customers through these hurdles right here in 2023?
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of it is just being sounding boards for people that are not actively buying or selling, but keeping them updated on what is going on. You know, people who are homeowners, there will come a point in time where they're going to want to sell their home, or they may want to buy an investment property. And so the more you can keep them updated on what's going on in the market, and maybe give them what you're hearing is truth over what maybe could be being portrayed on a, you know, on a big screen kind of level. Right. People appreciate that. And then I think just continuing to be an honest person with regard to, you know, people buying and selling homes, and not just trying to make the sale, just thinking about their best interest.
Right.
So I hope that answered your question.
Oh, it does. Rich, I know you might have a couple more questions too right now, but can you talk about what is going on, Chris, right now, like when you're actually working with those buyers?
Yeah.
Like, are there concessions in your area? Are there specific things you're doing to help them with financing? Like, yeah. How are you having those conversations?
Yeah, so that's really good. Thanks for bringing that up, because I had that conversation with the buyer yesterday when we were showing a home. So, you know, our market is probably like a lot of people's markets out there. You know, we're mid-October. There's limited inventory on the market. There is still demand. You know, I like to keep metrics on specific areas. So one of the areas I keep a track of is Ladera, where I live. And I think currently today we have 16 homes on the market. But if you go year over year over year and you go back every year in October, around this time, we probably got 50 to 70 homes on the market. So it just continues to tell you there's no inventory on the market, but there are still buyers, because once a home goes to market, if it looks good, if it's priced right, and if it's staged or well done on the inside, it's going to sell, and it's going to sell pretty quick. And it might sell with multiple offers because there's still buyers out there. There's still people that realize that it is still a good time to buy real estate. At the end of the day, real estate's going to continue to appreciate, maybe not at the rate it's been in the last couple of years, but real estate will still continue to appreciate over the span of 20 years. You know, we pigeonhole ourselves into looking at, oh, what's it going to do in the next 2 years? Maybe it's not a good metric for wanting to buy a home right this moment, because maybe we'll see a little bit of a turn. Maybe we'll see not as much growth as we saw before. But if you look over a span of 20 years, that home price is going to continue to go up.
Right.
So that's kind of what I'm educating people with. Concessions, we are getting some concessions here. I did one recently where the buyer got a $21,000 credit to buy down their interest rate to make it to where they were at like a 6% versus a 7.25%. So it's just different ways. At home, it had been sitting on the market for a little bit of time, so I knew that we could strike for a concession. And this was a veteran buyer, so you're very close to my heart. I wanted to be able to get them as much of a concession as I could so they could buy down their rate so their payment would be less. You know, it's not always happening, but if it's there and available, you try to get it for your client and, you know, help them with their rates.
Right. Well, and what a lot of people I don't think realize about those buy down rates, that in most cases, I mean, each lender is a little different, but in most cases, let's say there's a $21,000 concession to buy down the interest rate. You're buying it down 2% in year one and 1% in year two. And let's say that in year one, $14,000 of that money, you know, went toward year one, and there's $7,000 sitting in an escrow account for year two. If something were to happen and they could actually refinance at a lower rate, no one knows what's going to happen with interest rates, but if that could happen at that point, that $7,000 gets applied right directly to principal. Is that right?
I'm not an expert. You guys would know more than me.
It's depending on the lender. But just having that conversation, I am hearing agents having those conversations with their lenders and having those conversation with their agents. And I know, right now, bringing your lender in on those conversations with your customers early as possible, and keeping them involved, you know, the whole way. Are you doing that? Can you talk about how you're involving your lenders right now?
So anytime I've got a buyer that's working with a specific lender, you know, if I've referred them to them, I always start, you know, joint text threads so that I can kind of watch conversation that's going back and forth, seeing if I can interject in some of my own experience, what's going on. I meet with the lenders, or I talk to them, you know, every couple of days, especially in pre-approval process. You know, I'm kind of like a little more hands-on-y than I've been, just because the amount of people that are not buying homes right now. So when you have somebody ready to go, you want to make sure they're fully taken care of and they're getting the best rates, they're getting the best everything. You know, I know in our business, we should always be referring out multiple 2, 3, 4 lenders just to people so they can get their best rates. Now it's come to a point where it's like, we're a little bit more active in like referring them, getting them to multiple lenders, and then getting those lenders to work really hard to earn that business. And if that means dropping their rate or giving a concession or something like that, it only helps the buyer out. So
Chris, you're a master at creating conversations. So besides talking to people in line at Starbucks, what else are you doing to generate new conversations? Are you doing open houses? Yeah. What's going on in your marketplace? What's working for you?
Definitely at open houses, we're meeting people, we're having conversations with them, we're educating them on what the market's doing. We're, you know, getting their contact information, following up as, you know, as they desire. Of course, you know, containing boundaries upon that too. We don't want to overstep our bounds with people who have been gracious enough to give us their phone numbers or their email addresses. I'm still doing the Starbucks thing. I'm still walking around talking to people in neighborhoods. I have a new thing I'm doing. Actually, I think it's tomorrow night. Me and one of the guys on my team are going to go out, walk our farm that we've been farming for 11 years. And we're giving out pumpkin carving kits with the status of the market report. So, people do carve pumpkins. And so why not walk around? We got them from Dollar Tree for like $2. And so we're going to walk around. We're going to hand out 110 of them and get to talk to everybody about, you know, what's going on with them, what their impression of the market is. I love to ask people that question, like, what do you think is going on in the market? I love to hear people say, oh, nobody's buying or selling. Well, then we can go around and turn and tell them, oh, no, there are actually people that are buying and selling. Yep. People are cashing out some of their equity and they're moving to Arizona, or they're cashing out their equity and they're moving to Florida, or, you know, wherever. Like, we love to give them that information. And, you know, people that are that kind of contained in their own bubble and they're not hearing stuff from market experts, or they're, you know, listening to the wrong headlines, they're not hearing truth of what's happening in their local area.
Love it.
I love that. All right, I'm going to keep an eye out for those social media posts.
I might have a pumpkin. Who knows? I mean, maybe I'll wear something orange. Actually, not. I like wearing black. So.
Oh, that's awesome.
Apparently, Todd and I fall in that category as well.
That's great.
So Chris, you also seem so chill all the time. Whenever I see you at any event, even though there's excitement and we're buzzing around like little Tasmanian devils, right? You're just always chill. And anytime you present for us, I see you, you know, coming from a place of a calm, still waters, you know, not all wound up. So we get stressed out in a busy market. I mean, 3 years ago, you know, in 2020, agents as a whole were stressed out. The market was coming apart, you know, and we were in the unknown areas of COVID. Well, I guess we're still in the unknown areas of COVID. Anyway, we didn't know what we didn't know at the time. We thought we were coming out of lockdown, you know, in a couple of weeks. It was always just a couple of weeks more. Agents were stressed out. The market changed. Okay, we're in lockdown for a while, you know, and we're accepting this. And we're all stressed out about that. Now the market has changed. It's not a COVID market, but now there's less business and agents are stressed out. It seems like that there's always a lot of stress in real estate, and you don't seem to be stressed. Or if you are, then you're like a duck on the water, calm, cool, and collected on the surface, and paddling like all get out underneath. But somehow I think that this is just your essence of who you are. How do you stay so chill and not be stressed out in the ever fluctuating real estate markets?
That's good. I probably have a couple answers to that. I would tell you, my wife keeps me pretty chill. She is continually reminding me about perspective and reminding me about, you know, people can see when you are stressed. People can see when you are overhyped about something. And if you just remain consistent all the time, people appreciate that. You know, I'll tell you, I'm not without imperfections. I think that I can be stressed just like the normal real estate agent. But as I did say, you know, just the maintaining that composure, and just, gosh, I'll just break the ice and say it. You know, we get caught up in our world on performance and what we can do and how we can do it. And, you know, I think at the end of the day, I give glory to God in every single bit of everything that I do, because I've been in really hard times in my life. I've served our country and been in war, and I've been through terrible life circumstances and growing up in bad circumstances. And, you know, I get to be in a life now where I get to glorify Him in everything that I do. And, you know, that's what changed me. That's what changed me 12 years ago. And now my whole life is completely different, and I don't have to carry around this worry or what the world says I should be, because I know who I am and what I am. So I'm kind of,
well, your grateful heart certainly shows through in everything that you do.
Yeah.
Certainly appreciate you sharing with us today. And also thank you for your service.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Rich, I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I think Todd's on mute.
You muted yourself, Todd.
I did, because I didn't want background. It's my first, you know, recording. Come on. It's, you know, I should know better. But, you know, Chris, while you're talking about that, you know, do you have a daily routine?
Yeah.
Are there certain things also that help you with that perspective? You've mentioned time with Joy, you know, your wife. You know, I'm sure that, you know, those conversations, like, are you intentional with those conversations as well?
Yeah. You know, I have a daily routine. We can get up first thing in the morning, and the very first thing we do is we pick our phone up off our nightstand and we start scrolling to see what's happened through the night. You know, what I like to scroll to see what my sports team did, if they're going to fire a coach. That's kind of like, I wake up every morning hoping that somebody might be gone from the team and we'll make it better. But, you know, I wake up pretty much in the morning and I go right to gratitude, and I'm just so thankful. You know, I woke up this morning and I get to spend time with my family. I get to, you know, call the kids today and see how they're doing in college. I get to, you know, I get to hang out with my dog, which she's sitting out on the third story balcony right now, and I'm actually a little concerned about her, but she'll be fine. I get to spend time with my wife, but I get to be grateful for the things that I get to do. And, you know, our business can be so hard sometimes, and we can lose sight of just being cheerful and grateful. So every morning I wake up and I do 10 to 15 minutes of gratitude. And that's just writing down the things I'm grateful for today. And then I move on and I spend some time in the word, and then I get into my business and my real estate. And, you know, I get into a routine of working out. You know, I like to get into the home gym and do a little bit in the mornings, at least to stretch the old bones, because, you know, when you get over the age of 50, it doesn't stretch like it used to stretch anymore.
Right. Don't even start on me.
Exactly.
Yep. keep it moving.
Well, Chris, thank you for joining us here today on this episode of the Real Estate. You know, we are talking about Q, you know, four now in 2023. Can you just take us through the last 3 months? I know I don't want to date the podcast, okay, but what are you doing in the next 3 months?
Okay, what am I doing in the next 3 months? Going into November, I have to tell you, it's my birthday month, so there might be a little bit of celebrations going on. I'm actually very fortunate to be a veteran with a birthday on Veterans Day.
So no, really? You're an 11-11, baby. Awesome. Good for you.
And so if anybody wants to send me a gift, I'll give you my phone number and you can send. I'm just kidding. What am I doing going forward? So I have a couple listings that we're prepping right now. pike. I got an event I'm planning for my team and also for our past clients. And I'm super stoked to get into 2024 and see what business is going to do in 2024.
Love that. Love that. Well, Chris, thank you for joining us. Rich, any parting thoughts or questions before we
wrap up? No, I just want to say thank you for taking the time. It's great to crawl inside your head and see what Chris Lardy does on a daily basis. And so thank you. Your grateful heart shows through in everything you do. Yeah. Appreciate you taking a few minutes with us today.
Absolutely. Anytime I can be of any help.
All right, everyone. Well, thank you for joining us today on the Real Estate Podcast. Todd Sumney with Rich LaRue and Chris Lardy from HomeSmart Evergreen in Irvine. This is probably one of my favorite podcasts we've ever done. Chris, just spending time with you today. So thank you for that time. Rich, thank you for your time.
Absolutely.
Take us away, Rich. Tell us about the thumbs up and where.
We live for likes and thumbs up. And so if you like this podcast, please do give us a thumbs up. Give us two if you can. We appreciate that. Chris will appreciate that. Todd would appreciate it. And for my fragile ego, I need it. So please, and if you've got other comments, hit us up. We want to make this podcast something that is a go-to for you. And so leave comments and we'll go from there. And other than that, we'll see you next time.
See you next time.
Like what you're hearing on The Real Estate? Tell your friends about us. Tell them to check out all of our episodes on Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, YouTube, and Spotify. And don't forget to send any topics you want us to tackle to therealestate@homesmart.com.